Well, it's January the 1st, and it's resolution time again, right? So let's go back a year. How many of you made resolutions for the year 2011? I guess only me and Dave. And Juan. All right. Did you keep them? You don't have halfway? Okay. Do we even remember? Well, you can see from the title of the message, today I challenge you to make some New Year's resolutions. Today. There's nothing wrong with making resolutions. In fact, there's everything right about it. Someone has said, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. Right? And I'm afraid that describes too many of us in our lives. The fact is, we need to have goals in life. Goals provide us with direction in life. Goals put us on the right path of life. They keep us on the right path of life. And we shouldn't wait every 365 days to make them. The dictionary defines resolution as a decision as to future action, a fixed mind. In other words, I set my mind to it and I resolve to do it. So I want you to stop and think for a moment. What is it you really want in the year 2012? What do you want for yourself? Want to change some habits? Attitudes? What goals do you have for yourself? What goals do you have for your family? What are your dreams? What are your desires? See, when you really think about it, a goal is really a dream with a deadline. A goal is a desire with a timeline. You take your dream, and instead of just dreaming about it, you give it a deadline. You take your dream and you give it a timeline. Certain steps will be made at certain times in order to arrive at the goal of my dream. But be careful. There's a right way to set goals, and there's a wrong way to set goals. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. Because James, the half-brother of Jesus, talks about both the right way to set a goal, the wrong way to set a goal. So take your Bible, turn to James chapter 4 and verse 13, and let's listen to what James has to say. James 4:13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Now, let's go back and let's take a closer look at what James says. First, James tells us what not to do. He tells us the wrong way to set goals. Verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Now, do you see what verse 13 tells us? Sometimes when people set goals, they just leave God out of the process. You know, I'm just going to make a decision and I'm going to set out to do it. And James tells us that's a bad choice. And then he tells us why in verse 14. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. He says this, because life is a puff of air. Everybody do this. All together now on three. One, two, three. That's your life. That's what he's saying. That's your life. Because your life is a... It's just too short for us to make bad choices. Your life is a one-way street into the future. And you cannot relive a day. You cannot do over any decision. So we can't afford to make bad choices. Instead of just deciding to do it, put God first. Recognize who God is, invite Him into the process, and include Him in your decision making. That's what he tells us in verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. So, making a decision, making a resolution occurs when we stop dreaming about it, we give it to God, and we set a deadline. Then we determine specific steps that we need to take in order to meet the deadline. We resolve to make the necessary changes in our behavior, in our schedule, one step at a time to get there. And we do it all with verse 15 in mind. If the Lord wills, we'll live and we will do this. We will accomplish our goal. So here's my challenge to you on the very first day of 2012. Let's make some resolutions together. A bunch of individual resolutions united in our love for Jesus Christ, united in our love for each other, will make 2012 our best year ever, both as individuals and as a church. So what I want us to do today is look at some resolutions made by some of God's greatest people. Maybe we can learn from them. I mean, after all, it doesn't have to be New Year's to make a resolution. And as you go through the Bible, you find that many of God's greatest people regularly made resolutions throughout the year. Let's start in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. When I think of resolutions in the Bible, one of the first ones that I think of is Joshua's resolve to remain committed to God. Listen to what Joshua says in Joshua 24, 15. "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now Joshua says this after the nation of Israel had finished fighting many battles. The promised land had been conquered. And Joshua gathers the people of Israel and he begins to recall the experiences of all of these battles, of everything that they had gone through and how faithful God had been. And he reminds the people, he says, you know, it was God who fought the battles. It was God who defeated the enemies. It was God who won the victories. It was God who gave us a land that we didn't work for. He gave us cities that we didn't build. He gave us vineyards that we didn't plant. He says, it's God who has blessed us. And now the battles are over. Now we're entering into a new chapter of life. And you've got to make a decision. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the gods that other people serve? He mentions the gods of the Amorites. He mentions the gods that their predecessors had worshipped. In our context, we could say, are you going to worship the god of affluence? A lot of people worship that god. You going to worship the god of money? You going to worship the god of status? You going to worship the god of career? You going to worship the god of fun and partying? You know, you look around and everybody you work with, even people in your own family, they have their gods. And they live their lives focused on what's most important to them. And so Joshua says, now, what about you? What are you going to do? Are you going to live your life focused on these things being the most important or not? And then he basically says this, I don't care what you choose. As for me, and as far as my family's concerned, we're going to serve Jehovah. We're going to serve the Lord. He's been good to us. He has been wonderful. He has been faithful. He has been loving. He has shown us His power. And he says, you know, when it comes to serving God, there's no middle ground. There's no part-time commitment. It's not God on Sunday and all of these other gods Monday through Saturday. It's either God or not. And Joshua didn't wait for an answer. He didn't wait to see what the others would choose. He resolved to serve the Lord and lead his family to do the same. Now I want you to notice that resolution of Joshua's. It's one thing to be personally committed, but it becomes quite another to have the wisdom and leadership to motivate your wife and your children to do the same. Dad, it's really up to you. It's your responsibility. Praise God for godly mothers who lead their children. They should. Praise God for godly mothers who give an example for their children to follow. But we need men to be men. We need men who love Jesus. We need men who are committed to Jesus. We need men who will actively lead their family to follow Jesus. That's what we need. And in church after church after church, all around the world, churches lack the leadership of men in their families. It was Joshua who said, I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't care what my buddies do. I don't care how crazy they are about their sports team or their career or hunting or fishing or whatever it may be. I know what God's done in my life. And I want to set the example to lead my family to love God with all of their heart. Because what He's done for me, He can do for them. Joshua's resolution was to serve God. And he chose to do it out of love. He chose to do it out of gratitude. Not out of a sense of obligation. Not out of a sense of duty. Notice what happened. Verse 16. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. Now you see, that's the type of resolve that we need. Regardless of what other people do and decide and say and choose, we resolve to serve the Lord. When's the last time you just thought about, for a lengthy period of time, all that God has done for you? You see, we're geared to look at everything we don't have. We're geared to gripe about what's missing in our life. We're very self-centered. And we need to turn that focus from ourselves to our God. And yeah, we don't have everything, but you need to stop and think about what God has done for you. Think about what God is doing for you. Think about what God will do for you. And you know, when you begin, and I began to focus on God, the resolve that we see in Joshua will become ours. I don't care what other people choose to serve. I don't care what they say. I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to do the best to give that example to my family.
so that they'll serve him also.
That's the type of resolve we need. Well, let's look at David. Turn to Psalm 34 and verse 1. The thing about David is, you look at his life, and his life is filled with resolutions. It just becomes a matter of which ones do you choose when you look at the resolutions in David's life. Psalm 34, 1. David says this, I will bless the Lord whenever things go in my way. Is that what it says? At all times, his praise shall be in my mouth when everything's going okay. No, continually. Do you see the resolve? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Think about that. David resolved to praise the Lord in every circumstance of life. In every hour of life. He resolved that praise would be a mindset. Praise would be an attitude of his heart. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not there yet. I want to be. And I'm better this year than last, but I'm not there. I'm going to tell you something. This is a life-changing resolution. Because it shifts the whole focus of life off of ourselves and onto God. And isn't that where it should be? It places all of the attention on the character of God instead of the circumstances of life. This is a resolution that goes with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And it's one we can really help each other with, especially as we gather to worship. Actually, this resolution is part of the necessity of being here on Sunday. You know, there are many reasons that God makes being a part of corporate worship, in other words, coming to church, why he makes that a requirement. Number one, he knows we can't live the Christian life on our own. We need help. We need the example of others. We need the prayers of others. We need the support of others. And while we're getting it from them, they're getting it from us. And this is where we see the necessity of being together in worship, because there is a value that cannot be found anywhere else on earth. We can reinforce our personal commitment of continual praise by allowing God to make our worship together something special and something sincere and something uplifting, acceptable to God. And this is where we as a church can resolve that our worship service becomes something that we anticipate before we come. Something that we enjoy while we're here and something that we remember after we leave. I'm the first to admit that's a tall order. But it's possible. Worship is not something we endure. It's something we enjoy. Or should. Listen to Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing. David, Psalm 95. Okay. All right, go back one. It's not on there. Keep going. What do I have? Oh, no, go forward. Keep going. There's no verse 1, is there? Oh, well, you're going to have to read it in your own Bible. How 20th century is that? Huh? Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Now, verse 2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Let's all read that together. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. I want to hear you shout. Shout! Come on, loud. Shout! It's okay to shout. Did you know that? That's what he's saying. When we come to worship God, yes, we do it in reverence, but we do it with thanksgiving. We do it with joy, like he says in verse 1. And in both verse 1 and verse 2, he says, let us shout. Let's resolve to enjoy our worship. Real worship is more than just a bunch of warm bodies getting together. It's coming together with the right spirit. A spirit of love and a spirit of excitement. David also says this in Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Listen, we should anticipate and enjoy and remember our worship experience together. How do we do that? Well, every one of us resolve to enjoy every part of worship. Resolve to enjoy the singing. Songs are not just to prepare us for worship, they are worship. We are worshiping when we sing. And if you just sit there all quiet through the singing time, you miss an opportunity to praise the Lord for who He is and what He's done. You don't have to be a singer to praise God. You just have to be a worshiper. Did you know that? Just a worshiper. We all can't sing, but we can all shout, right? Yeah, we can. And singing is just simply putting music to God's truth. It's putting music to our thoughts and our heart. And the relevant question is not, do you have a voice? The relevant question is, do you have a song? Do you have something in your heart to give to God in worship. Let's resolve to make a joyful noise. When we come here on Sunday, our audience is God. We're not singing for those around us. We're singing for God. Resolve to enjoy singing. Resolve to enjoy preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:21 tells us that preaching pleases God. He says this, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe." This is God's plan. This is God's plan. That there be preaching. And if it pleases God, it should please us. Resolve to enjoy singing. Resolve to enjoy preaching. Resolve to enjoy giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says that God loves cheerful givers. So let each one of us give as he purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Every time we worship in giving, we ought to be thankful to God that we have something to give Him. Because a lot of people in our world have nothing. I mean nothing. Resolve to sing, resolve to preach, resolve to pray, resolve to give, resolve to pray. Listen to David's resolution in Psalm 116. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. Man, think about what David's saying here. Do you see the resolve? The very end of verse 2, therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. How long is this resolution, David? Rest of my life. As long as I live. And what motivates you, David? It's not a sense of duty. It's not a sense of obligation. What does he say? I love the Lord. I love Him. Because He's heard my voice and my supplication. Because He's inclined His ear to me. Think about what David's saying here. God hears your prayers. Isn't that amazing? The God of creation hears your prayers. And He not only hears your prayers, He answers your prayers. How could we not be excited and joyful about speaking directly to God? You and I can speak directly to God. And that's overwhelming when you think about it. So let's resolve to be committed to prayer and to continue in prayer, because prayer is important to our relationship with God. Resolve to spend time in prayer. Don't just use prayer for emergencies. Don't just use prayer to cry for help. Pray every day. Start small. Start big. It doesn't matter. Just start. 5 minutes. 10 minutes. 15. Just start. Resolve to start. Another resolution, turn to Psalm 119:15, and notice David's resolve regarding God's word. He says this, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. David resolved to meditate on God's word. That word meditate in the Hebrew means to converse with oneself. You talk to yourself. You know? We do that all the time, don't we? All day long. I mean, think about it. You talk to yourself all day long. You gripe about how unfair things are. You complain about the person in front of you not going fast enough. And you rant and you vent and you dream and you criticize. You're just like me. We talk to ourselves all day long, and through it all, our thoughts always come back and settle on a certain subject. They come back and they settle on a certain topic. It may be a person, such as our spouse or our children. It may be a passion, such as a sport, or our business, or making money. But you see, thousands of thoughts will flash in our mind as we just go through the circumstances of our day. But like the needle on a compass, the majority of our thoughts will always come back and they're going to settle on true north. They're going to settle on what's important to us, what's valuable to us. Meditation is making God and His Word the true north of our life. It's going through our day, including God in our conversation with ourselves. Talking to Him. His word, His truth, His promises, His principles, Him. David resolved to do that because he wanted to do that. He says, I will delight myself in your statutes. He wants to. Reading God's word, meditating on God's word, memorizing God's word, studying God's word. None of that was boring to David. It's what he wanted to do. So resolve to take in God's word on a regular basis. Resolve to read through your Bible this year. You can do it. Do you realize if you'll just turn off one telenovela, turn off one 30-minute sitcom, and read your Bible instead, you can easily read through the entire Bible in 1 year. Easily. Did you know that? Now, let me ask you, which one's going to do you more good? Another episode of this, or the eternal, infallible Word of God? The fact is, we can do anything we want to do. Excuses don't matter. If we delight in doing it, we find time to do it, don't we? Resolve to read God's word. One final resolution. And it's the most important of all. It's the resolution the prodigal son made. Do you remember the story? He had reached the very bottom of life. He had gone as low as he could possibly go. He had left a great home, a loving father, to squander his life on himself. And when he finally reached the bottom, he saw life in the proper perspective for the first time. And he made a resolution. Listen to what he said. Luke 15:17. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" You see his resolution? He made the resolution to return to the Father, to confess his sin, to become a humble servant. And that's really a resolution that encompasses everything we've looked at today, isn't it? The wonder of forgiveness and acceptance. You see, regardless of how we lived in 2011, regardless of what we've done, regardless of how we failed, we never have to wonder if God will accept us, if God will forgive us. Verse 20, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." The father didn't even wait for the son to get to the door. But he ran to meet him and put his arms around him and hug him and love him and restore him. And that's exactly how God waits for each and every one of us. So what will 2012 mean to you? Will it be just another year? Or will it be a year of positive change? A year of improvement. Because you resolve to put God first in your life. You resolve to serve Him like Joshua. You resolve to pray and praise and worship and meditate like David. You resolve to return to the Father like the prodigal son. See, the choice is yours. First day of 2012. And 2012 will be exactly what you resolve it to be. So as we pray, I challenge you to make some resolutions today to God. And you make this year the best year of your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the example that all of these people give us, to have the commitment of Joshua, to have the love, the passion of David, to have the humility of the prodigal son, to return to you and ask forgiveness. Only you know what this year holds for us. And that's why it only makes sense for us to resolve to you. That whatever the circumstances, whatever the year brings, We put our life in your hands. And we will thank you in all things. And we will thank you all the time and praise you. I really want to have that resolve. And I pray you will help me stick to it through this year. I thank you so much for every person who's here. I love my church. And Lord, I know you have great things for every person here. Lord, every one of us faces challenges. We face circumstances. We just issues. But you know all that. And you have the resources for all of that. And just like Joshua and Israel, the victory was yours. And the victory in our lives belongs to you. You will get us through. So help us stay focused on you. Help us be the men and women that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.